Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Eternity S.A. conference call to report second quarter of 2017 earnings results. We have here with us Mr. Luiz Augusto Barcelo Barbosa, Eternity's CEO, and Rodrigo Luz, who is Chief Financial Officer and Investor Relations Officer. We are recording this event, and all participants are connected at listen mode only. We are going to have a Q&A session later when instructions will be given. If you need assistance during the call, please press star key followed by zero. This conference call is being broadcast live on Eternity's website, eternity.com.br/ir. The slide presentation and the release are available for download. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. They are all forward-looking statements, and they depend on the conditions of national and international markets and all the general macroeconomic conditions of the country and the industry. I would like now to give the floor to Mr. Rodrigo Luz, Eternity's CFO and Investor Relations Officer. You may proceed, please.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to you this morning. I would like to thank the interest of all of you to join us in this conference call for the results of the second Q17. The main highlight that we have had in this quarter, in addition to the financial result, is the beginning of our restructuring process. For those of you who were with us in our last conference call, we mentioned what we had already started doing. The restructuring started in April by appointing a new CEO, and he has developed a new business plan with all the business units to make the necessary adjustments of the structure, especially in a situation of low demand, such as the one we've been through right now. The adjustment in this structure, plus the implementation of new management tools with a redesign of strategic areas and the redesign of the commercial area, are focused on reaching better profitability of the business as a whole, and as a consequence, greater margins and more positive margins. Therefore, this is the main highlight we had on the second quarter 2017. In addition, in this period, the operation of the company has been adjusted to lower levels of production. We have reduced our production and adjusting that according to our inventory levels. This was all done to focus on having additional free cash flow. By reducing production and reducing inventory levels, we could meet the demands of the market in the second quarter of 2017, ensuring at the same time free cash flow. In terms of operational aspects of sales, our main highlight is a growth in export volumes of Crizotil, which increased by 41.4%. This increase is a result of all our efforts to tune and direct our production from mining as a result of the retraction of domestic market. In terms of recurring and adjusted EBITDA, excluding non-recurrent items, as I'm going to emphasize during the presentation, they were aligned with the second Q16. All the second quarters are periods of low demand for the company. This is a seasonality, and historically, for those of you who have been following us for a while, you probably know and can see in the numbers that the second quarter is the worst period in terms of demand for our products. And as the last highlight of the second Q17 in July, we elected the new Chief Commercial Officer, Mr. Rodrigo Inácio, someone highly experienced in the commercial area, especially construction materials. For the past 10 years, he has taken positions of management or acted as a CEO in different countries in South America. So these are the main highlights of the period. Now carry on, slide 4. We can see all the operational aspects concerning sales of Crizotil. The volume sold in the second Q was 39,000 tons, 30,000 in the external market, which is the highlight I have just mentioned, and a retraction comparing the periods of the domestic market of 26,000 tons to 9,000 tons. This results from the fact that Crizotil is not being used so frequently in the manufacturing process any longer. So, as a consequence, we have been directing our production to foreign markets for export sales, and this is exactly what we did on the second quarter. In addition to developing new markets, so that we can still maintain the sales of all our production. In the half of the year, we had 77,900 tons, 22% reduction compared to the first half of 2016 as a result of everything that I have explained so far, because of significant reduction of market opportunities in Brazil. Slide 5, in terms of fiber cement tiles, there was 16.6% retraction in the year half, reducing the amount of tons sold. And the second quarter, we sold 148,000 tons, which means 17.8% reduction compared to the same period last year. This retraction is more marked than the performance of the industry and construction material as a whole. According to ABRAMAT, the Association of the Industries, but there are some other factors such as unemployment rates, reduced income levels, difficulty of raising funds, which means less consumption of fiber cement tiles. And we are talking about low-income population here. So until there is an improvement in unemployment rates and income distribution, this line of business will still operate at lower levels. For the past 12 months, some regions we have experienced a decrease in our market share. And now with the new Chief Commercial Officer, we are going to redesign our commercial area to regain market share. And this is going to be done in the short and mid-term. As a consequence, we are going to regain leadership as we tend to be leaders in all regions of the country. Next one, concrete tiles. There was a change to this slide so that we can have a better understanding and easy explanation of our restructuring. for those of you who have been with us, we had a restructuring the beginning of 2017. So the operations were all centralized in our plant in Atibaia, and the other four plants had discontinued activities. So as you can see, when we analyze the volume of Atibaia, as we see in red, comparing the quarters, the volume of sale was about 4 million pieces. So as you can see, there hasn't been change. In the year half, we had 9.8 as opposed to 8.3 this year in the first half of 17. As we have combined all units, of course, there has been a retraction of production because we are comparing with previous periods in which we had more units in operation compared to this situation in which we just have activity in one unit. So understanding here, Atibaia and the other units, I think it's clearly shown what is the strategy that we have adopted for restructuring purposes. The operation is now all centralized in Atibaia plant to meet the market with greater profitability and better margins. There is also another important strategy to be pointed out here, whose main purpose is to maximize sales in B2C market. These are sales that provide greater margins. They are sales directly to the end consumer. There is a club of architects where they come up with the specs of different construction sites, construction projects. So we want to enhance our sales through this channel. Slide 7 now, we are going into the financial figures. Consolidated net revenues in the quarter was 19.8% lower, 163.5 million exactly. Significant decrease in domestic market resulting from the decreased volumes of all the segments we have already reported, and a positive contribution of 12% from the export market, from 35 million to 39.6 million. There are three factors to be accounted for. One positive factor, which is the increase in amount of sales of 40%. There is also a average decrease of exchange rate of 8% comparing the periods, which neutralizes or offsets, so to speak, the growth in sales volumes. In addition, there had been a retraction in dollar prices of Crisatil in this period compared to the previous period. To deal and to compete with other markets and with our products, and also in exploring and developing new markets. So these are the three key factors that have led to this kind of net revenues from export sales. There was 23.5% retraction in the first half of the year, amounting to 331 million reals for consolidated net revenues in the first half of the year. Slide 8, gross margin, consolidated gross margin, and this is something that we have done differently this time compared to previous presentations, just to favor the understanding of our data. And from now on, we want to use these data so that investors and the market and our shareholders can clearly understand the results of all the strategies we have been implementing that can be easily understood through these indicators. Gross margin in the second quarter was 26%, 4 percentage point retraction compared to the second half of 2016, which was 30%. But when we exclude non-recurring items, the recurrent gross margin was aligned with the second quarter last year, just 1 percentage point drop. And when compared to the previous quarter, 17, there was 2 percentage point reduction based on the fact that this period is of low demand. What is the difference between gross margin and recurring gross margin? As I've mentioned in our highlights, we have consolidated the operation in the second quarter, reducing production and dealing with our inventory levels. As part of seasonality, the second half of the year tends to have greater demand than the first half of the year. We have reduced production, which means idleness cost for our plants. We have a well-balanced inventory level and a production level which is fully prepared to meet the needs of the second half of the year. As the second half of the year is probably going to be very challenging, we have already adjusted our structure so that we have no more periods of idleness in the second half of the year. So what we have observed in the second quarter, or 5 million in terms of idleness, is exactly what we have eliminated to show you the recurring margin of our three activities, chrysotile, concrete, and fiber cement. The cost is not affected. There is a pressure of cost because of inflation rates, even though inflation is somewhat controlled, but the whole industry is operating at low levels with high levels of idleness. And most of the supplies that are required for production are operating very similarly. Once we have a new pickup of economic activity, and once all suppliers will go through that, everyone will try to have a price recovery. Thus, there has been a pressure over price and inflation, but we have managed to offset all that pressure by dealing with good competitive levels and being prepared for the second half of the year. Slide 9, adjusted EBITDA and recurring EBITDA. We have excluded non-recurring items. In the next slide, I'm going to talk about them. Our adjusted EBITDA was 11.7% in the second Q, 3 percentage point reduction compared to the second Q 16. And this is what I've talked about, cash flow generation, which is stable if we compare against the previous year. This is impacting that percentage point reduction in gross margin. And as a highlight here, which is aligned with our plan of reducing operational expenses, there had been 26% reduction of SG&A when we compare one period over the other. And this is one of our highlights as well, as I mentioned when we started, which is the adjustment of our structure to deal with periods of lower demand, such as is the case now, so that we can maintain our competitiveness level. And once there is a new pickup in economy, our company will be ready to maximize the improved conditions. Comparing with the first quarter 17, the reduction of adjusted EBITDA resulted from the fact of seasonality, lower demand period. Next slide. We can see a table to understand non-recurring events, because the entire restructuring process expects adjustments. Some will still be done, and of course it has financial impact. And to measure that, as this is not something recurring, we preferred to create one specific table so that we can understand what is non-recurring and what is recurring, having a very clear understanding of data. Second quarter 17, adjusted EBITDA was 11.7. and adjusted recurring loss of 9.3. Of non-recurring events, what can we expect? A cost with restructuring of 11 million. Part of the restructuring has already been completed. There are still minor adjustments to be made. It did have an impact on our financial results. Our headcount has been adjusted to meet the needs of activity that we currently have, which meant 11 million in terms of costs required to adjust that, to pay indemnification also for those employees that left the company. The payback will be of about 9 to 10 months. We have also had some additional costs with unexpected shutdowns of production, but to really meet the needs of our current demand, as there is going to be an increased volume in the second half, we will have all the adapted staff ready to work and meet the expectations of the second half. But in the second quarter, we had that level of unexpected shutdown. There was also 1.4 million of breakdown due to products from new technologies. Whenever there is a process of migration to meet specific demands of regions or to adjust or use alternative products to Crizotil, the process gets intensified. Well, let's call it a learning curve. Once the process is stable, this is not going to be there anymore. Our main highlight, we can also see results from equity pickup. Our joint venture with Bathroom Chinaware, 9.2 million, 1.9, nearly 2 million, resulted from accounting adjustment, something just one of a time. It's just adjustment of the inventory levels compared to the amount of realization. As we have better productivity indicators now and adjusted production costs, and the learning that it has taken, which was part of our inventory cost for production. But once we start selling the inventory, this is going to impact our results. So in upcoming months and quarters, this effect won't be felt, as we have already included it all here, booked all of it here, so that as of the third quarter, we can have the actual net result that shows our productivity and cost and performance. So we had a recurring net income loss of 9.3 as opposed to 8 million, which had been the second quarter 16. Next slide of indebtedness. Compared to December 16, we have maintained a flat figure, 1.7 reduction, but it's still within 115 million reals. When we compare it to the first quarter, 17, there was a 15.6% increase, and this variation is explained by the increase in exports. Part of the short-term debt are debts that were required to have a working capital because of the exports of Crizotil, because the average payment term is greater than 120 days. So we have acquired ACA and NCE, AC and NCE bonds to be able to deal with this operation. So the amortization cost, almost 100%, is supported by accounts receivables from the exports. It does not mean that we need cash generation to pay that. That has already been supported by the accounts receivables. Do. And amortization flow of additional years resulted from funding required from imports or additional machines that we have purchased for our plant in Manaus, and also the funding provided by the Development Bank from Manaus, where we were offered very attractive interest rates. So in terms of overall indebtedness, this is not something extremely costly. All the actions that we are currently developing are focused on reducing the levels of our debt. The origin of the debt, 50%, is in foreign currency as a result of the use of ACE and NCE bonds, and we have a natural hedge so that there is no oscillation or impact on results because of foreign exchange variation, especially when there are sudden drops or increase in foreign exchange. To close my presentation, we have brought to you, as part of our continuous improvement initiatives, some outlooks for the second half of the year and for the company overall as a result of our restructuring efforts. From an economic perspective, there is a projection of GDP of 0.3%, a stable numbers for 2017. The GDP of civil construction had a retraction of 2.1%, and Abramat index shows a retraction of 5%. So compared to previous year, which was a difficult year, quite challenging, there were negative index with the negative national GDP also, a construction GDP 5% negative, and a Brahmati index showed almost 20% retraction. Even so, according to the government and to most agencies in our industry, they still expect gradual recovery, but somewhat slow. And as a consequence, these are the expected figures for the year 2017. In terms of company management, we are adjusting our operational, commercial, and administrative structure. We are redesigning our sales area, especially now with our new chief commercial officer, focusing on recovering market share and focusing on reaching leadership in some specific regions. We want to be leaders all over Brazil. And we are also going to work on pricing of our portfolio, which is correlated with restructuring of some areas or bringing new management tools, which are going to provide better pricing opportunities. In terms of business units for fiber cement tiles, we are repositioning ourselves in the market, which is closely related with the two previous points. In mining, we are going to focus on export markets to direct our production to foreign markets because of the retraction of domestic market. For concrete tiles, we are going to focus all our operation at Atibaia, as has been the case, and we are also working on a B2C sales operations where we tend to have greater profitability through the Architects Club. Polypropylene fibers, from Manaus, we are going to increase the unit's utilization and expanding also sales abroad. For Chinaware, we want to strengthen our position in the north and northeast regions in Brazil, considering the location of the plant and all the options available in the region. And we want really to expand our footprint and also expand other construction materials. These are products that we have already worked with, but they do not have such an important relevance to our portfolio. So we want to enhance that, considering also new products. All of these outlooks impact our financial performance. We want to improve profitability of all business units. We are going to keep on focusing on working capital and reducing our debts, as we've heard before. And in addition, operate with positive margins. All these actions are here presented as a broad understanding, but most of them are being detailed into action plans so that we can have, in the short run, positive effects resulting from them impacting our results. So our company will be then ready to face the economic pickup, really starting competitive from the beginning and performing much better than what had been the case in the second Q17. This was my presentation, sharing with you the highlights of the second Q17, and I'm here at your disposal now to start the Q&A session. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now begin the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1. To withdraw it from the queue, please type star 2. First question, Gilmar Cabralho. Considering this economic situation, can we have good expectations in the midterm? Well, Gilmar, thank you very much for the question and for your participation. All the actions that we have presented in this scenario of outlooks are focused on that. This is a moment of restructuring, and there are non-recurring costs with significant impact, but this is going to bring our company to a certain level so that once there is an economic pickup with better volumes, we'll be really ready to start operating within positive margins. The next question, also submitted by webcast, by Adilson Rocha. When can we have some expectations that positive results will be back to Eternity? Well, Adilson, thank you very much for the question. Our policy is not to provide any guidance. I wish I could clearly answer your questions. However, in the short term, as a result of all the actions and the actions implemented by the top management, and if we maintain the market status and starting some level of improvement, we can expect positive results in the short term. Please let me remind you that for questions, please dial star 1. The next question comes from the webcast, Samuel de Lima. The Supreme Court has just started discussing about the end of Crizotil. What can we expect of Eternity if that comes into reality? Good morning, Samuel. This is Luiz Augusto, and I am the company's CEO. I was there yesterday during the beginning of the court proceeding. Very complex, highly political negotiation. There were people, different interested stakeholders and people who are involved in the supply chain involving Crizotil, people who work also with chlorine, and also those who are in favor of ceasing the operations involving asbestos. It has already been discussed in a number of previous opportunities, so it's very difficult to predict what will be the result of this court proceeding. There is some likelihood that we would maintain both things, maintaining really the current sentence and maintaining our activities. To determine the complete interruption of the operations, we need 2/3 of the voting ministers in favor of it. And even if it happens and it becomes the new decision is passed, we will still be in operation, because unless this paragraph is there, it becomes less restrictive. So a decision that would completely cease the operation of the mine is not something very likely to happen in the short term. Regardless, what has happened and the key impact is the reduction of domestic market demand for asbestos, because other companies of fiber cement with this perspective of asbestos ban have changed their process to use other raw materials, and most of them have already done that. So the domestic market has really decreased. Even Eternity has been doing that, adjusting its plant and adjusting its own facility to work with both fibers. So the domestic market has really experienced significant drop. And this year, most of the sales of our mining facility is to export, to the export market. We've been working on two initiatives. In the quantitative mining, we have concentrated our business to have a profitable business, even if it depends entirely on exports. And in our plants of roofing tiles, we are preparing all the machines so that they can operate with synthetic fibers as well. As most of you know, some time ago we invested in a polypropylene plant. And if we had already adjusted all our plants only to use polypropylene, we would have enough capacity in Manaus plant to provide raw materials 100% of our needs. And we still have enough to sell to the local market. So this is our preparation to all these elements, even though I don't think that the Supreme Court will rule in favor of seizing entirely the activity of the mine. The Supreme Court knows that we are in a city where there are 30,000 over inhabitants. The city depends on the activities, not only because of tax purposes, but also because we have a number of employees and suppliers all evolving around the mining and in the region. So even if we had a opposite decision, there will still be some modulation. In other words, there will be a programmed process until complete ceasing of the activity. So we have been getting prepared even to a negative ruling, even though we don't think this is going to be the case. Hope I have answered your question. The next question comes from Jose Firmino. Eternity has exported chrysotile to other countries. Which are these countries? What is chrysotile ban scenario in other countries? I know this is a very interesting topic. We export chrysotil to many countries. Colombia, US, Germany, and also some Asian countries, India, Indonesia, Sri Lanka. There are many countries to which we make our exports. Some have fiber cement applications, others in other kinds of applications. The next question comes from Ricardo Góes. Considering the reputation and the strong name of the company and restructuring, do you think about increasing your product mix using, for example, pipes, connections, and paints? Well, Ricardo, the group has been doing that. If you look closer to our product portfolio, we also have bathroom chinaware. We sell bathroom chinaware. We manufacture and sell that in our plant in a joint venture in Fortaleza. We have cement panels, which is a kind of drywall application, but something done with cement and not gypsum. So we have water tanks, used to be fiber cement, and now they are done with polypropylene. So yes, we have been doing that, and we understand that this is the strategy that Eternit wants to have. We want to be a provider of solutions to the civil construction market so that we don't have to necessarily depend on roofing tiles. We still have to think about our concrete tiles. We have been diversifying that so that we don't necessarily have to depend on chrysotile applications only. Please let me remind you that for a question, please dial star 1. Once again, if you have a question, please dial star 1. If there are no further questions, I would now like to give the floor to Rodrigo Luz for his closing remarks. Thank you once again. I would like to thank for your participation. Thank you for finding time to discuss with the top management all the results of the second quarter 17. Everything that we have presented is really focused on bringing the company to a new level. I would like to ask you to follow up our schedule of activities with investors' relations. Next month, we are going to have a public meeting with the capital market here in São Paulo, and it will be a pleasure to welcome you all in our meeting. There, you will have an opportunity to get to know our top management, also some members of the board of directors, and it will be also an opportunity to go into details presenting some additional actions that we have ongoing that will be implemented by the top management. And we will probably have additional results to share with you. With that, I would like to close our conference call, and I wish you all a very good afternoon. Thank you very much. That concludes Eternit conference call. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.